This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast.
Sean Murphy to John Murphy. This is Connor Lawler. This could be the icing on the cake. Second goal for Carlo, and surely now they're into the Leinster semi-final.
At the end of the day, you ask players to do a job, and no matter what we do, say, we can be called great lads now, and we have the team moving. We haven't been moving, it's the players that do it. We can't train.
Carlo have restarted quickly. Long ball sent into that inside forward line. Oh, and it's broken for James Doyle. Goal chance for Carlo, and they've taken it.
In 2005, Naboan won their 18th senior hurling title. With two titles in 3 years, they looked set to continue to dominate Carlo hurling. Yet since then, they have failed to add another senior hurling championship to their list. Robbie Foley was in that 2005 team. He admits he could never have envisaged the club not adding to their title since that 2005 triumph.
You know, I certainly wouldn't believe them, because when I came on the team, I thought I'd get a handful of these, but they didn't work out that way.
Yeah, what age were you then, Robbie, 2005?
Ash, I don't know what it was in 2005. Oh, Lord, I don't know.
Well, do the mathematics there.
It was in my mid-20s.
What? Mid-20s? You're not giving anything away, are you?
No, I was only a
child. But I'd have to say, at the moment, when I was growing up, there was a fear of, from whatever time I was 18, there would have been a fear of Meishel. There was a sort of, if you heard the players coming down the tunnel in Dr. Cullen Park, geez, you'd run a mile from them. And that fear is probably not there at the moment. Is that a fair analogy?
Oh, it was different times, and hurling was different. There was huge, big men in Meishel that time, or with my father and lots of dads like that, and you know, yeah. Hear of the next door there, I mean, their butlers and the foxes and all that. But hurling has changed massively regards dietitians, training, skill, everything has changed. But that's big men in Meishel, and like, I wouldn't blame anyone for being afraid of.
Yeah, yeah. No, Jenny, I remember you'd be standing there at the dugout, but Jenny, you'd be afraid you'd get a clip from them. And look, that was only a kind of a myth that was there. Like, I've met a lot of those players since. Jenny, they're great men to talk to, and great men to reminisce about those wonderful times in Meishel, wasn't it? When you won 6 in a row, and you won a football, hurling and football senior double in 1986. Like, they were massive times.
I remember winning the boys when they won the double in 86, so I remember exactly where I was standing and all.
Go away.
Brilliant times.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. You're obviously not going to tell me what age you were in 86 then, you were only a chap. Can you remember who were the great men at that time? Who would you have looked up to?
They're all great men in my eyes. You know, I'm going to push. Obviously, Paddy Quirk is the one that sticks out, and he was all the top that time around. The stand and everyone was talking about Paddy Quirk, and when I was at that age, even at that age, I said, geez, I hope I get a chance to play with him, you know, before he gets to order, you know, so that was my ambition as we could not see anything, to get a chance to play with Paddy.
Yeah, the Quirks are great men, aren't they? There was four of them there, wasn't there? And
yeah, great, absolutely great men and great hurlers. Asher that lived and died for it, you know.
Looking then on to, how would you say it, your own career? Now, we leave the intercounty for a minute, but have you coached at all levels in Meishel?
Yeah, I started off with Kyle when he was coming on to the juvenile, started playing himself, so right up through with him. And Bobby now is only 6, so I'm not coaching there at the minute, but I'll go back down that road and come back up again, you know.
What's the highlights of your own coaching career?
Asher, training the intermediates there, I was waiting for the last couple of years, and really enjoyed it, and winning a couple of championships with them was fantastic, you know. We bet Rangers in a game there a couple of years, but the first year, and the long time we won one, that was special. A couple of years back, we drew with them, and they came back and bet us in the replay. And between ourselves and against the Rangers, it was always good intermediate teams, and it was nice to get one over them on that.
Right, yeah.
I was talking to Eddie Cody after the final this year, and he was bemoaning the fact that they hadn't won the title this year, because it's for them, they haven't won it for the last few years. And I think he beat them maybe 2 out of 3 finals in a row there. There was 3 times you played each other in a row. I think nearly all the games went to replays. I think you won 2 out of 3 of them, did you?
Something like that, yeah. That's the games. Like, I remember starting back with Indonesia back, I suppose, 7 years ago, and it was a draw game and went to a replay. The beat is in a replay, all right. But they were always very, very good games, and we came up one time, did come to this, and that's the way it was. But they were great games to look at.
And I remember James Hickey telling me that he used to look up to Whitehead, and he'd be, while Rangers eventually got the upper hand on you there after 2005, James would say that his father would be bringing him 2 games in Dr. Cullen Park to look at Michael and to look at Paddy Quirk. That was, he had the dominance on them in those days. But as you say, it's funny the way the dominance can turn around. And but as I say, Rangers used to look up to you, and you as a club probably inspired Rangers to do what they eventually did.
Yeah, I hope so anyway. Like, but now, everyone gets a go at it. I see our Acton Vipers coming back at it now again. With a great bunch of young lads coming forward, and that's why I got involved with them, because I believe they can win one. And Rebin, you don't expect to go in and wipe it out. But they're, like Limerick, of course, a great team now. But they didn't just come over the last couple of years. They're building and doing that for a long time.
Yeah, and funny enough, when Rangers won their Leinster title in 2013, I remember meeting you outside Nowland Park, and I was absolutely amazed how delighted you were that Rangers had won a senior title. And you were looking at it from the overall point of view that they were the first club to win first Carlow club, should I say, to win a Leinster club title. Like, It must have been a hard one to swallow in one way, but I never forget how happy you were that day for them. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, I sure remember it, because it was on the 6-1 news, wrapped up in a few Rangers lads, and I got a stick from my own club. Farther back, I suppose, farther, my own club friends, like Ronnie Messon, so I see him 6-1 with the Rangers, but I goes back farther than that. Like, for years I travelled on the bus with Edward Cody, Frank Foley, James Hickey, Willie Hickey, and all the Rangers lads up and down the country, and we soldiered together, and it was always a rival between Carlow and Wexford. And it was, even though when we played Wexford and beat Mundaff at Cullen Park, it was going to get one over. Like, the Rangers and St Mullins boys are closer to Wexford, and went to school with some of the Wexford boys towards us, so this end we wouldn't normally go towards Bankstown. But I was delighted for the fact of the likes of lads that soldiered up and down through the years on the bus, see them getting one over. That day, I think Rangers represented Carlow and Owler, or whoever it was, represented Wexford. And for the boys to win, I thought it was a win for Carlow and a win for Rangers. I didn't care where they were from, but we fought for years to get up and down the country, and that's the way I was looking at it.
That's absolutely, and if I remember rightly, when Rangers played their All-Ireland semi-final up in Uri, that St Mullins brought a flag up. You know, and that day you were all Rangers, maybe in your own little way, but I can't say that out loud.
No, it doesn't matter me at all. Whoever leaves Carlow wins the championship, I back them to the backbone. Like St Mullins in Port Leash, when they played there a couple of years ago, I back them to the backbone. But when we're in Dafferty Cullen Park and wearing a Navo in jersey, I'm opposition, obviously, and that's the way. That's the good thing about GAA. When you're wearing the same jersey, you're all together, but when the different jerseys are off, the friendship is off for that.
And going back then to Michael, you have been in 3 finals since. Rangers beat you in 2017. St Mullins broke your hearts in 2014. And I'll come back to that in a minute. And Rangers beat you again in 2011. But I always felt that final in 2014 between St Mullins and Michael, that the club who didn't win that final were facing a bleak couple of years now. I'm not saying I'm a great man at predicting the future, but if Michael had won that, they could possibly have gone on, been a springboard for further success, which St Mullins have had. You know, it was the 2 points, and Shane Cavan, I think, had a free in the last minute in front of the goal on a fierce wet day, and the ball was saved and Mullins won their title and Meischl had to face defeat again. It's fine lines, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a toss of a coin. It's like the championship this year. We played Rangers and we finished again with 14 men, and it's the same bank as we finished again with 14 men. A toss of a coin would normally, if we finished again, we could have beaten Rangers or we could have been handier in the final, but by luck of the draw, that didn't work out in the day and we're at the other end of it.
Were you surprised that Bagnestown beat Rangers this year?
I was in Cardiff at the time and I was actually getting out of the swimming pool and the younger lads got out in front of me and walked into the reception and they said to me, and I was very surprised. They said there was nobody going to give it to the match trainers at all. I thought they were way ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was very surprised, yeah, but fair play at the Bagnestown. And all on today, it's all on today.
Yeah, I'd say Mullins did, of course, got the good start, or not so much the good start, but they got a very good second quarter and probably won the county final in that second quarter against Bagnestown. It was a tough bitter pill for Bagnestown to swallow, wasn't it?
It was, of course, but I was talking to Styler on the beach there last weekend, I just happened to bump into him. If they played that the following weekend again, there could be only a pint or two of this in the Bagnestown side of it. It was all on the day, I said, Wolves were on fire on the day. Everything worked out for them, not really worked out for Bagnestown, but it's all on the day, and if it was the following weekend again, the replay again, totally different outcome.
Let's go to Christy Ring, and we won't go to the recent Christy Rings, but your own Christy Rings, where you were on two Carlo Christy Rings team. Were you on the team that lost against Antrim 2 years previously?
Jerry,
how could I forget that?
Yeah.
That was, I suppose, a final that you had to lose if you were to go to win one, or is that a bit unfair?
Well, you see, Antrim were way ahead. They were a hot favourite from day one to win that out. And our big thing, we had a massive game the week before that, again, down above in Mullingar. That was a massive win, those. And for a Carlow team to play in Cope Park, for us, I know it was always my dream anyway to play in Cope Park as a young lad. And possibly our final that year was semi-final, again, down above in Mullingar. And then to play Antrim, a real good Antrim side in Cope Park. There was 27 or 8 minutes gone and we only got the first pint, you know.
So okay.
A lot of us were, myself including, blown away by Croke Park more so than what we were playing in the Christian final.
Yeah, can happen sometimes, can't it? Owen Garvey was manager that day, was he? Was that Owen Garvey's year, yeah?
Owen manager was that year, yeah.
And so go on, was it 2 years later you played in Tullamore, and there was a story in that itself, in that there was an awful lot of debate whether that Christy Ring final, I think it was on a Friday night, was it?
Friday night,
whether that match should have been played in Croke Park or not. And at the time, getting to the airport wasn't an hour and a quarter up the motorway. And getting into Drumcondra was certainly not an hour and a quarter up the motorway. And so the match was played in Tullamore instead of dragging teams, Westmeath and Carlow, into the traffic of Drumcondra at 7:30 on a Friday night.
That's right.
Yeah, and that was an epic final. It went to extra time, didn't it?
Yeah, we were very disappointed when we got to the final, and sure, as Westmeath were as well, because we deserved, after putting in a massive effort all year, we deserved to play in Cope Park.
Yeah.
We're going to play as of a Friday evening, and they said behind 2,000 or 3,000 that are going to open up for that. But in the long run, it was better off in Tullamore with the crowd. It was a serious crowd at that day. And some of the lads playing the county hurling now were only chaps in the stand at the time. For instance, the Jake Dyla was talking to them the other day at the Dunnerbendy match. When we won that Christy Ring in Mullingar, Spider got a picture and Jake was so small at the time he was sitting in the
pub. You are joking. Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Jez, I'd love to see that photograph, yeah.
Well, there is one going around.
Go away.
Yeah. That was a brilliant game, right? Shane Campbell was, I'm not a friend, but Shane Campbell was fantastic that day. But yet Murtagh scored 215 or whatever, so it's not unusual to see Campbell being the best man on the field, and his player Martin got 215.
Yeah.
Murtagh was on fire as well, but it was a good game, very good game.
Yeah. Shane was something else. They talked about who was at Mauling Morris. He down the years in St Mullins, you'd pay the entry fee to come in and look at him. I would have paid an entry fee to come and see Shane Kavanagh too. I thought he was a magnificent hurler, and he's still playing intermediate.
Yeah, I listen, Shea was fantastic, absolutely fantastic fullback or centre back, and I often remember him winning games for us when the pressure would be on. He'd come out with the ball and he was a brilliant free take. He was a great man all around.
Quiet man. He let his hurling do that talking, doesn't he?
Quiet man till you got the other side of him and you know.
Well, maybe it's as well. I haven't experienced that then.
I know in temper, but if he got on the other side of him and guards slap, you'd be.
Yeah, he's able to look after himself. You have to when you've played as long as he has.
Absolutely, but when you're playing with Shane, everything is on the field. But when you're gone out of the field or going for a fight with him, there's not a hurler of ball mentioned at all. It's completely a whole lot. He never mentioned hurling or football.
Come here to tell you, you mentioned that Westmead game, the Christy Ring final. You actually scored a goal yourself that day too.
Gosh, I don't know who I scored. Oh, I did. Yeah, Shane Cavanagh hit me in the long ball. I just swung back. I kept me in the whole way. Listen, if I could be at it still, since then, I'd miss it. But I did hit the back of the net, lucky enough, and delighted with it.
Yeah. Look, the following year you got to Croke Park. You played down. It was a dream day for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely. As every young lad growing up, you'd be thinking of Croke Park, and that was always my dream, playing hurling for my career, so playing Croke Park. That's all I wanted to do was play in Croke Park. But I remember one day after a football match in Croke Park, at the time everyone was allowed in, and I was standing on the 21-yard line just dreaming, what would it be like to play in Croke Park? What would it be like to be here? Imagining everything, and lucky enough, years on, I got to play it, and we won the Christy Ring final in it.
Yeah, well, you're not telling the full story there, because Down were winning that game for a long time.
They were winning right up nearly to the end.
Yes, at a certain Robbie Foley decided enough was enough.
Well, I remember shouting to Mark Brennan, hitting the ball. I was full forward and said, hitting the ball, Mark, I roared at Mark. Mark is cool, calm, as collected as you like, turning around and says, calm down, loads of time left. And I looked up at the clock, there was only 3 minutes left, so what game is he at? So Andrew Ball happened to hit in a ball. I still get on to him to this day. He meant to have a score, but he mishitted it. And by mishitting it, I ended up catching it, and it was only one hand swing then to the back.
Yeah, it was a stylish goal, and probably a bit unorthodox as well, but it doesn't matter, they all count, don't they?
Actually, a man was up on my back and he was swinging out of me, and I couldn't get the two hands in the hurl, and I kind of got down on one knee and got back up.
That's right.
I swung on it with one hand, but it doesn't matter what way it went in anyway.
Yeah, can you remember the moment? Can you remember what was going through your mind? Was it next ball or was it?
Blow it up, ref, is all I could say. Blow it up. I thought he'd never blow it up in time. But a few minutes after, Styler was only a chap at the time. He played that year with us, and a free came and he took the free and put it over as well.
Yeah.
So the dangerous
lead, if there was another minute left.
Yeah, it was. That's why I was hoping you'd have the fairy tale ending that it would blow up and I could retire. Win the Christy Ring after the goal going in.
Yeah. Listen, that team would have kind of set a target then, you know, for Carlo Hurland. They had won Christy Rings. They had played in maybe four or five years. Like, there was a lot of good things happened in Carlo Hurling after that, wasn't there? You know, we went into...
We played Clare in Glasgow Park to beat us by a couple of points. That same year, that was 09, but in 08, up along... We played Wexford, we beat Wexford in it was good. From 08 onwards, it was good, it was getting better and better and better. We were in Dr. Cullen Park, we were playing good teams and beating them, you know. We had a great setup, and the training was fantastic, you know.
Who were the managers at that time? Just remind me.
Jim Green was manager in 08, Big John McGrath was the coach at the time, and Kevin Ryan was in 09. He took over from Jim in 09.
Kevin came in and did a lot of very good things with Carlo Hurling. I think it was under Kevin Ryan that Carlo beat Wexford, if my memory serves me right, in a National League game. No, maybe I'm wrong now. What?
Yeah.
A couple of years later, maybe you weren't there at the time.
Well, I was there in Dartford Cullen Park to do with Baton Moray. It started off with Owen Garvey, put down the foundation. He ended up playing himself in the league game to start the year. Ian brought it to another level in 08. He made us believe. First, we thought we couldn't even do it with Big John McGrath there as well. Kevin came in then and brought the skill level up a bit more, you know.
Yeah. Tell us this, what would be your highlights, or your club highlights, and your...
Listen, obviously you'd love winning the county title with your club, but I used to love going outside of Carrick and playing other teams. I used to love that, playing bigger teams and bigger players and with your club. I thought that was fantastic.
You were probably a bit young when you nearly beat St. Stephen's in the club championship, were you? Were you on that Meischel team?
I was on James Stephen's. We played James Stephen's and nearly beat him. We played Burr as well. And then both teams that beat us, but not one of the All-Ireland was about us, but we held one of them to 3 points, another to 4 points.
That's right. Yeah. Just, you have Kyle there, just maybe before I talk to you about horse racing. You have Kyle there, your son is over playing soccer in England, born. That's a fabulous opportunity for the young fella. Or even if he doesn't make it, it's still a great opportunity to go over there and play sport in another country, and maybe a sport that's, as he said to me himself recently, he prefers hurling. But by Ginny, when you get the opportunity to play soccer in England, you take it. Very proud of him, are you?
Absolutely, highly proud of him. Yeah, he went to go to the Kennedy Cup one time, go up in Galway, and he went on holidays, but he regretted that moment ever since. So he said, the next opportunity I'll get to scout out for the soccer, I'll be taking it. So he got the opportunity, he's taking it. He's enjoying it. It's not going to be half an hour or more. He's enjoying it. So if he makes it, if he don't, he knows where home is.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for him. Horse racing, your late uncle Tom Foley, Denali, you're from a very, very strong horsey background, aren't you? You know, a lot of people mightn't know that, but you are.
Absolutely. So all my uncles had horses. My father had horses all his life. Ponies, started out with ponies and ended up with thoroughbreds. Sure, Tom's story is a story of its own. And sure, Uncle Jim had a horsing trainer with Tom in Canada, and Pat Foley, another uncle, and Jer was the one, and my father got me into the horses. We're all horses involved, and to this day, it's still involved in a small bit.
Are you breeding now, or owner, or what's your...
No, I just have a couple of brood mares and breeding out them and selling them off, and that's all. It's gone too expensive to try to do it the other way. The opposition has gone too big anyway.
Yeah. But you know something... You know, Robbie, when you think about it, Carlo, there's a, how would I describe it? There's a horsey background in Carlo as well. You have Willie Mullins after coming across the border from Kilkenny, and he's based in Carlo. But there's a huge amount of horse, you know, Pat Fahey? Have I got the name right? You've got Emmett Mullins, we'll have to call him as a Carlo man now. You've got Pat Hughes. And, you know, you have Tom Foley there, you know, the late Tom, great, great man with Denali and other horses afterwards. And his son, Jer, is it?
Pat is after license. He's after getting a couple of winners on National Hunt and on the flats.
That's
Pat's
right.
Trying there to win it as well, you know.
You know, so there's a certain, it's not talked that much, but there is this culture of horse racing in Carlo and horse breeding. And, you know, your Michael Kelly down there, Burris as well, who's on a very small scale, you know. But it's his there.
Absolutely, like you see all the winners in Galway or anywhere like that, and all coming back to like Shark Handle. I don't know where.
Shark, of course. Shark. How could you forget Shark?
Or Kenny Man, but he won two big races in Galway. Like there's a massive following. Like a lot of horsey people based in Loughlin Beach there.
That's right.
And McBiddy and Pat Fatty and Devin Mullins and the rest of them. You know, it's Carlos. There's a massive place for horse racing and breeding.
Yeah, yeah. But listen, if you look at Meischel as well, you've got them. They're a club they're a great club. They're a great dual club. They cater, I would say, equally, and maybe you can explain it to me, but equally for hurling and football. I know there's a split season there now at the moment, but you would have seen, we've talked about Shane Cavanagh, and you talk about Martin Clowry then as well. I remember talking to Martin years ago, and he was so proud to be on the Carlow Senior Football panel. Now, he only played a few games, but it was a wonderful occasion for him. They're a great club, great people, wonderful people down there. And you really hope that they could go on and win a senior hurling championship, maybe win an intermediate this year and go back up senior again.
Yeah, well, like, we go down training any night, whether it's Tuesday or Friday night, all year. We'll have 30 players, we'll have subs on the line, we have to pick two, we're going to play a full game of 15 on 15 with subs to run in.
Yeah.
And that's all year round, every Tuesday, Friday, and the Sunday as well we train. We were playing last week there, and we could run in 15, playing 15 and subs to go as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end of the day, it isn't all about winning a senior hurling championship. It's important that it keeps it going. But as I'd say, you're catering for underage, from about under six up, the whole way up, dual status. You wouldn't have it any other way, would you?
Absolutely not. Like, we have three hurling teams there now. We didn't finish the junior this year, but up the last couple of years, we had three hurling teams and football teams and going our own in most of them anyway.
Stay going yourself, training. Would you play junior this year, Robbie?
Did I play junior?
Would you play junior if you had?
I would, absolutely. I'd only have 13 in the long run, but studying there, no problem at all.
And like, you're still going strong there now at the moment. You're back into the football now at this stage. How are the minors going? I haven't kept an eye on that one.
The minors are going well. They played Nave. No, that was called off due to the weather. But they played Ballinkinnon last weekend before. And they won that. And then the Monday night's game gone was called off due to the weather against Nave. They're going well.
So, the future is good. And you're enjoying your involvement still, and long may it continue.
Well, sure, listen, I started off playing with Nave Owen in when I was 10 years of age, and I'm still heavily involved with him, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Listen, wonderful. Listen, thanks a million, Robbie, for coming on the Across the Four Legs podcast.